See, the other thing people do not value about Waffle House is every time you go, you're getting, you know, you're getting good food. Yeah. And entertainment. It's literally a dinner and a show.
It is a show.
For like $6.
100%.
Hey everyone, Dale Shack here, one of your hosts on your favorite podcast, Successfully Unsigned. We welcome you in today with a brand new episode all about gear. One of the things that we find new artists struggle with the most is trying to understand how to do the technical aspect of their music. Not everyone has access to go and record in a high-budget, big-box studio, and so many people are now recording in their bedroom because gear has become affordable, and so has software. But with that affordability comes a ton of options for you to sift through. So today we discuss a few of the pieces of gear that we find that we like as we've gone through this exact same process that you have, trying to get enough basic simple stuff to get your songs on a recording, where you can do something as simple as just getting it down to listen to it later, or something a little more complex and higher quality if you want to go down the engineering route and do the entire production out of your house. So take a listen, let us know what your favorite gear is for a home studio down in the comments below. And as always, please like and subscribe, hit that share button, give us a rating on your favorite streaming platform, and visit us at our website at su-podcast.com.
Welcome to Successfully Unsigned!
What?
Is that like a that was reverse so delay? Creepy.
I thought it was like a fun little intro.
The whispering,
welcome. Like, that's like, I don't know.
I'm trying to appeal to our metal audience.
Okay, yeah, good. You know? And the Warplay audience.
The Warplay audience. I don't know if Warplay's metal.
Not Warplay. What was it? Was it Warplay?
Breaking Enter.
At Battle of the Bands.
Outpost. Oh, Outpost. Yeah. Yes. Shout out Outpost. Welcome to Successfully Unsigned. Make sure you follow us at successfully_unsigned. I feel like we do all that stuff toward the end, but I'm trying to hook the audience.
Go
so
and get it. Yeah.
Stop this video. Go follow us. Visit our website, su-podcast.com, for all of our other content.
See, that's how you say it, David.
Yeah.
That's how you say it.
su-podcast.com.
That could be like a fun little commercial. We could start doing like car commercials.
I was about to say, it sounds like a used car dealer.
Commercials.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a very special episode today. But I'm really, really sorry to all of y'all. You won't be hearing me speak as much because it's all about gear and what gear you could/should use as an artist. And I barely know how to work my phone. So I am always texting Dale like, wait, so how do I do this? Yeah. He's like, just press this button and this. I'm like, Okay, so where's that button?
It's right in front of you, man.
So, as you know, we have our favorite segment first, show in Yell. So,
yeah.
Sorry. I'm going to do it.
Who wants to go first?
Well, I went first last time, so.
I will go.
Oh, we'll go reverse.
We'll go reverse. All right. So this one's it's not as glamorous, but it's going to be my agenda from high school. Da-da-da. And I know that's kind of boring on the surface, but in this agenda, so backstory, the high school I went to was very interesting. We've talked about it on the show before. I went to an arts high school. You had to like audition with your art, and you know, there were dancers there, there were visual artists, actors. It was everybody. It's very artsy fartsy. And so, my guitar teacher was a character, we'll call him Doc. That was his name. We called him Doc. And Doc was a believer in the forces of chi in the world, whatever that be. So you'd walk up on him and he'd be sitting in front of like a vending machine. He'd have his hand out and then and then literally like a bag of chips would just fall off of the shelf. It was hanging. Like it was almost be ready to
fall. Oh, I would have fallen for it.
Yeah. And we,
you did right here in the telling.
Yeah. And on, you know, we'd walk into the classroom, he'd be trying to punch through a textbook. It'd be that kind of energy. This is a grown man and just a very goofy individual.
We need to get him on our podcast so he can use some chi to get us more viewers.
Honestly, I would not mind getting him on the show at all. Yeah, he'd be great. But in my agenda, the reason I have this agenda is because I had a doc quote of the day every day. And so,
okay, that's pretty great, actually.
I love this.
Yeah. And so I'm just going to read a few of these, guys, and just a few. And then you just enjoy what's about to happen. So Monday, 9/17/2012, doc quote of the day was testiculation. He said that we were about to take a test. And he said, we were about to take a test. And he goes, everybody stop. Because we'd all have acoustic guitars. How it would work, he'd come into the class. We'd all have acoustic guitars, little baby Taylor acoustic guitars. He would have an electric guitar and an amplifier. But can you imagine 20 acoustic guitars all playing Smoke on the Water or AC/DC or whatever, or Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit? It gets overwhelming. And so he has to scream. Like he'll just like strum the guitar really fast, or he'll scream and he'll go, hey, testiculation. And so then we'd have to take a test.
What?
And so, because he knows if he screams testiculation, we're all going to go, what? I'm sorry, what's good?
Ew.
And so that was his way of saying it was time for a test. Let's see.
There's so many things that I don't like about that.
So we had this guy at our school who used to climb in the ceiling to get into offices. Like,
we had a ceiling like that too. And there were kids who got detention.
Literally, they would climb in the ceiling and just go in through the other side and be in the teacher's office. His name was Ty. I won't say his last name, but someone asked Doc during class, "What's your opinion of this man?" And without hesitation, Doc just goes, "Yeah, he's a deformed space monkey."
What?
In front of the entire class, just called him a deformed space monkey. He did not like him very much. He didn't like him very much at all. And then there would be like random ones where he'd get mad and he'd just start going on rants about things that just didn't make any sense. Like when people in the class wouldn't stop playing, he would just say things like, and this was a doc quote of the day for 9/19. It's, "This is my tricycle. You cannot ride my tricycle." What context that was in, I would not even remember. It was his way of trying to shut people up. And then I'll read a few more here because they're just too great. He would call jazz Jazzem, like JAZZEM. And he'd say things like, he'd hear a scale in D minor and he'd go, "Hey, D minor land." He was just a very goofy.
Did he have an individual accent like that?
Yes. He was very country like this. He would talk in ways. Goodness. He'd try and get you to understand things, but you're just not listening, Tom.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what type of teacher he was as far as like whether he was good or anything like that.
He was,
but with phrases like that, how was he allowed to work in a high school?
That's a great question, and one that I'm still trying to answer. When you remove head from butt, you can have the guitar back. That was my quote of the day for 10/15/2012.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay,
that's a high school quote.
Here's my thing. I've always said, if you're a music teacher or a theater teacher of any sort, like you have to be a little crazy / unhinged. Like every single band, choir, music teacher I've ever met, like they'll be really good, but they'll also just be crazy. Like shout out to my choir teacher, Millie. Love you. You know, you mean the world to me. You're one of my biggest inspirations, but you had your crazy moments and that's okay. But there are just some, I just can't imagine like a performing arts school.
It was chaos. Every day was absolute chaos. I mean, the last one I'll read here, one of our janitors came in and said, "Hey Doc, there's a red truck outside. Do you know whose truck that is?" And his response was, "I was going to go out there and blow it up, but I left my bazooka at home." These are the responses. Can you imagine class every day, people?
So
I can't do it justice.
I make this comparison every time we talk about your high school, but Victorious, there was a teacher literally called Psychowitz, and he was just like super weird and wacky and like It makes sense.
It's comparable. So, no, like people use the Victorious. It's just like picture if Victorious was drunk, like if the entire
a lot of the cast was drunk.
Yeah, they would, but like just the entire show, if the entire show could be drunk, that's what NSA was.
I had a chemistry teacher my sophomore year of high school, and she, shout out Mrs. Marks, I love her. She was such a good teacher, but she also would say like unhinged stuff. And there was this kid named Paul in my class, and he was like kind of known in my grade to just like say off the cuff things and just kind of be a little rambunctious. Right. And he was partnered with this guy named Connor for a lab, and Connor like did all the work, especially the cleanup and stuff. And Mrs. Mark said, Connor, the next time that Paul doesn't help you clean up, I give you permission to skin him and hang him by his toes outside the balcony. And we were like,
that was
what?
She had that ready. She was thinking about that all day.
My friend Jessica used to like start writing down different things that she would say. She didn't do it every day, like, and there was even a moment where she was like, we were talking about mercury and how like, you know, mercury used to make people go crazy. And she's like, and people like just use it left and right. I remember playing with mercury as a kid.
Yeah.
And Paul goes, well, Mrs. Marks, you're not crazy. She goes, Paul, you want to spend a day with me? I was like, what? Wow.
Yeah. Some of these teachers, they're not making a lot of money and they're going insane.
Yeah. but you know what? She's a great chemistry teacher. I hated chemistry, but she made it fun. So shout out to you, Mrs. Marks.
Right.
Shout out to you, girl.
Yeah. Man. So anyways, yeah, that was my show and yell, Patrick.
Broski report. Okay, so Brittany Broski. Brittany Broski, please, please come on our podcast. Give it to me, Rachel. Please. Please give it. I do you guys know who Brittany Broski is?
I know her by name.
Okay. She's an influencer, comedian. She visited MTSU for a little bit. Mm. I tried so hard to get her to come on the podcast, even though she doesn't do music. But I was like, we need it. I did not get a response, but that's okay. But she has a podcast called The Broski Report. Let's do a collab, Brittany. Let's do a collab. We're a podcast. You're a podcast. Her podcast is super unhinged. She just like will come up with the crazy stuff. And I've never seen someone be so entertaining by themselves. Like pretty much most podcasts I listen to are with at least two people. I have never seen a podcast where like someone can just sit there for a full hour or more and just make me laugh so hard. And she makes herself laugh so hard over the stupidest stuff. I'll have to show you some clips because it's just like, I'm just thinking it, specifically usually when there's like a man involved and she just like literally will start like making herself sound like an ape. I'll have to show you. Anyway, she made merch and she collabed. Oh, I forget what this artist's name is, but it's Brittany something, not Broski. But it's this really cool, like kind of pinup 50s art. That's kind of her aesthetic for the Broski Report. Okay. The artist's name is Brittany Sides and her Instagram is Brie.tart, T-T-A-R-T. Anyway. So I bought this sweater. I never buy like YouTube merch from YouTubers or anything, but I thought it was cool. I thought it was fun. It's really comfortable. It's really warm. And I thought the art was really cool and I love the Broski Report. It's so funny. Makes my day better. So thank you, Brittany. And please, please be my friend. I think we'd be best friends. Truly, I do.
Yeah.
Truly, I do.
Truly. Dalio.
If yours is the sour Skittles, I'm going to hit you.
No, it's not.
It's regular Skittles.
Photo album! So, over the last few years, I have really grown to love physically printed photos. Like, it's just, there's, I mean, I you know, as a kid, like, growing up, you know, I don't know about y'all, but, like, my mom used to have shoeboxes on shoeboxes of, like, just photos, and you'd sit through and they were all in like those little Walmart sleeves, you know, you open it up and you you shift through them and you're like, oh man, I didn't know this existed, or who's this? And you know, all these questions. And like, so much fun as a kid going through those things. And then, you know, of course, as the digital era really came into full swing, that kind of disappeared. Mm-hmm. But over the last couple of years, I've gotten back into it. In fact, Patrick got me, along with some other friends, printed off a bunch of photos over a couple of the years that I lived out here. That was an awesome gift. Loved that. But yeah, this photo album, though, in specific, is one of just like old family stuff, right? So my grandparents, my parents, my grandparents' parents, like just old photos. And it's so cool to see like what like some of them look like when, you know, they were our age, you know. Or like, this is one of my favorite photos. This one right here. It's one of my favorite photos in this whole album. It's actually my grandparents on their very first date. It's the first photo they ever took together. Wow. It's at a carnival.
That's crazy they got that picture.
Yeah. Yeah. It was at a carnival in Tishomingo, Oklahoma. Mm. And yeah, I mean, it was it's a cool photo. They had like the whole, you know, what do you call them? Like the little, it was like in the photo booth. So they had the whole like string of photos, but that's the only one that I have. But then, you know, you go back and you find photos, you know, clippings from newspaper articles, photos from, you know, military stuff, school photos, all that kind of fun stuff. So,
yeah, you got the old school stuff. So I started like printing out a bunch of physical pictures when I graduated high school for like a board for my grad party. And I was like, oh, this is really fun. So I started like printing them out just for myself. But I also have like 10 billion pictures. Y'all, I had to drop, this is actually embarrassing, I dropped $30 today on extra storage on Google because I was at 97% with 100 gigabytes.
I'm about there myself too.
I have so many pictures, and part of it is the podcast too. But anyway, but yeah, I love physical prints as well. My mom actually, from my uncle, he was like going through a bunch of old photos and scanning them, and so he just gave my mom a whole bunch of like physical pictures. There's me and as a baby with my sister.
Oh,
y'all probably can't see, but
I'll put a picture up.
Yeah, no, like physical photos are great. They're like,
so yeah,
my parents had a lot of photo albums like that too. The only problem is my parents were terrible photographers.
So
it'd just be pictures of me as a baby just like falling over, and like it's not even my face, it's just my feet in the air. Yeah. And you're just like, this is what you chose to put in a album?
My grandpa was into photography, and my uncle is too. Yeah. So like we luckily got a lot of pretty decent ones.
It's so like I have another photo album. It looks the same on like the same cover and everything in there. That's like all of like my generation, like my siblings and a few of my parents and stuff like that. This one is specifically a bunch of older ones and is a little more special to me in regard to like, before my grandfather passed away, I sat down with him and my grandmother, and I was like, hey, you know, I wanted to know more about like, you know, what he knew about, you know, family, you know, history and stuff like that, you know, his siblings, his parents, stuff like that. And my grandmother's as well. And so he pulled out an old shoebox with a bunch of these photos that some of which at that point in time I'd never seen before.
Right.
And so I'm like, man, I want these and these and these. So I took them with me and scanned a bunch of them. And my mom helped me scan a bunch of these. And I got a bunch of notes like on a flash drive that of like who's in what, or like this photo I love. Like that's my grandma. That's my grandma right there in the middle, you know, and like, I don't know. It's so cool to see some of this stuff.
See some of it, like how things have changed.
My grandparents had literally different, like probably 2 to 3 books for each. My dad has 3 siblings, so there's 4 boys overall. So for each family, like each boy and their wife, they had like 2 to 3 books of photo albums for each family. So I remember like as a kid just going through those all the time, and I haven't looked at them in a long time.
Because you know your grandparents as like older, right?
Yeah.
And you see the pictures of them younger and see the face is the same, but it's just been aged. It's just such like a, like life can be so short, but it's also so long at the same time.
My like 90-year-old grandpa, he was a stud back in the day. I'm just saying. Now I wish I would have inherited some of those genes, grandpa.
90 years. Okay.
I know. Yeah. Wow. So
I went to my grandfather's aunt's 101st birthday.
That's
party.
Crazy.
He had a couple aunts that lived to 100 plus. A whole bunch of his family like lived.
That means you got good genes to live
I guess. Yeah. I guess. Well, you know.
Unless you keep eating those Oreos.
Butter cookie.
Butter cookies.
Mr. Butter Cookie.
Yeah. Cool stuff, though.
Well, Dale's got to go eat some more butter cookies, and we're going to be right back with another sweet segment.
All about gear.
All about gear.
Thank you once again for listening to Successfully Unsigned. I would like to take a moment during this break to remind you to visit our website at su-podcast.com to view all of the newest and latest content that we put out. Also, do us a huge favor and hit like and subscribe on this YouTube video, and like and rate us on your favorite streaming platform. Each one of those things helps us out tremendously. We would love to hear your thoughts on what artists we should have on next, what content we should cover, what kind of topics we should discuss, and any tips and tricks you might have in the music industry. Thank you for being one of our favorite listeners, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to Successfully Unsigned. Just a quick reminder before we jump into the segment, go follow us on Instagram at
at successfully_unsigned.
But the website is?
The website is su-podcast.com.
You're getting it. You're doing good.
It's only taken, you know, a couple months.
It's only taken many, many failures to achieve success.
And rate us 5 stars.
Yes, yep. Rate us. Comment down below if you find these videos helpful, these episodes. We know it can be a little long, but we know also that there's a lot of good information that you're soaking up, and we're clipping things for you guys, so you can definitely go watch the clips and go check us out on TikTok, all the rest.
And if you don't like it, leave a hate comment. Any publicity is good publicity.
I'm not going to co-sign that one, but what am I trying to say? I was going to make a segue there.
Our topic tonight
is going to be gear. And maybe you're starting out as an artist and, you know, you've got your acoustic or you've got a keyboard or whatever, and you're trying to, you know, we're going to be basically talking about, are there limitations to gear? Like, is there, for you as an artist, like, is having really bad gear going to limit you in any sort of way?
Someone who knows literally zero about gear, how, if I was an artist, how would you guys approach me as starting out?
That's good. Yeah. So, you know, for me, what I started out with obviously was a guitar, an amp. And then I had just like some recording software that I learned how to use. Not well. But learned how to capture some audio. So it was a very small budget. We all kind of start in that same place.
Well, and like, what kind of brands were you using? Because that matters too.
Yeah. So I believe my first guitar was a very off-brand Stratocaster that I cannot remember. It was like Strat something. It literally said the name of the guitar in the brand. And so it came with the amp too. It was like a little bundle deal.
Nice. Yeah.
You know, First Act First Act honestly has, if you're looking for a first guitar or whatever, they have like a guitar amp bundle that you can get. My niece just got one last year and she's trying to learn. And then, you know, slowly you upgrade to, you know, whatever brand of guitar that floats your boat. And as far as recording software, most people use GarageBand to start out with because it's simple and there's pictures and there's icons and
I do know how to use GarageBand.
Right.
I used to use Audacity.
Audacity?
That's where I started, was Audacity. Yeah.
Because you have all that Audacity.
You bet I do.
The audacity of this man. So honestly, I can say that during that time, what limited me, like, I had an acoustic guitar. It was a Fender acoustic guitar. Honestly, I can say equipment did not really limit me per se. It didn't really bring out my strengths. So the type of equipment I had didn't really suit my style of music. Like, as far as, like, for instance, the acoustic that I got was not, it was a very, the sound of it was like a very dark kind of grungy sound that just didn't suit what I was trying to go for. But it was an instrument to practice on. It was an instrument to kind of start writing on, which that's the most important thing. So, Dale, what did you start out with? Like, where were you at?
So the Who first artist
Dale,
the first guitar I ever owned was a K guitar. It was an acoustic.
Okay.
The action was like a mile off the fretboard kind of thing. You know, hurt to play. It was given to me from my by my great uncle, and kind of, you know, some there was a story behind how all that happened. But when I first got it, I didn't play it for a couple years. You know, I just kind of sat in my room, and then but I would ask, I'd beg my dad, because my dad would play like bluegrass and he'd play guitar, but I would beg him, like, teach me to play, and he'd always tell me, like, you'll play when you want to. When you actually want to play, you'll play, and then I'll teach you. And so I gave up asking. And then eventually, I started playing, and I was like, man, this is a lot of fun. I just picked it up one day and just started playing. And then I was playing like every day at that point. And, I'd play on that guitar all the time. And I got used to, like, you know, it was hard to do. And then I'd borrow my dad's guitar every now and then. I'm like, man, it's so much easier. And it was like a, you know, a Washburn, nice little guitar. And anyway, so I had that. And then the first acoustic that I purchased is the acoustic that I still use now, which is a Simon and Patrick. I've fallen in love with that, that guitar and that You're brand.
Welcome. Simon and Patrick?
Simon and Patrick. Mm-hmm. That's what it's called.
You're welcome. Mainly Simon, probably.
Yeah. No, it's a Canadian make guitar. Same parent company as like, like Seagull is part of that same like parent company.
Mm-hmm.
But these, the Simon Patrick guitars I've played have all been, I've really loved them. Love the tone, love the feel of them. And so I've kept it. I've kept that one. On the electric side, the first electric guitar I ever bought was at a closed up pawn shop. They had already shut the lights out and everything. Like, they had no electricity. They stopped paying that. Some other pawn shop had come through and bought like every guitar and like everything that they had, except for this one. I was like sitting in the corner behind you know, like the glass cabinets. I was like, how much you want for that? $80. Deal.
That's such a Dale story.
Well, I wanted an electric for the longest time. It was a beautiful, pretty little guitar. It was a Jackson. No, not Jackson. Lincoln. It was a Lincoln guitar.
Ooh.
Never heard of Lincoln. It was a Les Paul style. Les Paul style Lincoln guitar.
Yeah.
And Lincoln turns out to be a Japanese knockoff, very cheap end stuff. Everything I played out of that thing sounded horrible. It sounded so bad and it wouldn't keep a tune. But I played it.
Yeah.
I played it for a couple of years. And eventually I bought this Michael Kelly kind of Stratish style guitar that I have that I love.
Yeah.
Great guitar. On the audio side of things, though, like I mentioned, I started with Audacity. MP3 player kind of, or MP3 recorder, like we've talked about on the show before and all that fun stuff. But the first like interface kind of thing that I had, I actually still have. And actually I still sometimes use it. Hmm. It's a little Alesis Multimix 4 is what this is. One of my grandfathers did radio stuff, back when I was real little. And then, you know, back before I was born, he would do commercials. He would do little segments, little news clips, stuff like that for like local radios in Texas. So he had this to record into, which worked great for him and stuff like that. And eventually kind of when he stopped doing that and kind of retired from that, he gave this to me. And it's just a nice little USB little mixer, you know. It's got two mic inputs. It's got a couple line inputs, a couple guitar inputs, headphone out. And so, you know, I would record on this. Now it only records, you know, a stereo signal. So it's not a multi-track thing. You can have two microphones and line ins and all that stuff going, but it's whatever you mix on this.
Right.
So, if you're only doing one instrument at a time, no big deal.
Right.
But if you're doing multiple things at a time, well, that's kind of rough. So like me and my sister wrote a couple songs together toward the tail end of high school, early college, when this was still what I was using. And there was one song in particular that was a duet that we'd written that was extremely hard for us to sing one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so my solution to that was to, and I didn't know it at the time, but I was mixing all channel path going into it for the lead vocals. And so like I would stand further back from my microphone and all this kind of stuff and trying to use the room. Then I would pan like one of us one way and one of us the other way and like do all this kind of stuff. And it was not great, but it was cool at the time and I loved it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can't multitrack on this. So.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, basically what we're saying is it's okay to roll with the cheaper, you know, obviously getting your craft, getting into your craft, it's okay to have the cheaper stuff. It's okay. That's the first level. And the sometimes first layer.
Those limitations force you to learn stuff that you otherwise wouldn't. Yes. And it's like some cool stuff that you come up with.
Also, it's better to, like, one thing I've always seen is it's better to have a finished product than just keep waiting and waiting and waiting for it to be perfect. And, like, that's something that I feel like I've seen with a lot of artists where I'm like, oh, you have really, really good music, but you've only released, you know, a few songs because you're like, oh, well, I really want to be to this level, which I do get. But also, I'm like, if you release more, then you'll get more traction, which will then eventually lead you to find these other people, this other equipment that you can use.
Right.
Also, so someone who, you know, as someone who's who works retail, we always kind of have the idea of good, better, and best. So if I'm an artist, what are some like good products that maybe are a little bit cheaper, like more affordable? What are some like better products that are kind of in that mid range? And then what are kind of the best products of, let's say, money isn't necessarily as much of an, like, doesn't really matter as much?
Well, just real quick before we touch on that, I want to add one more thing to what you're saying. So I think it's always a good idea when you get a piece of equipment to learn everything about this piece of equipment.
Yeah. YouTube.
And find out what its limitations are, find out what its strengths are, what you like about it, what you dislike about it. Because I did that with a lot of equipment I have. I would get it and like fiddle with it for a little bit and like, I don't know what this does, you know, but you have to. I know the manual's intimidating. It's intimidating, but you got to read it. Yeah. You got to read it. And that way, when you go to find something better, you know exactly what you're looking for.
You know what you like and what you don't like.
That's why I'm terrible with equipment, because I'm like, I don't have the patience for any of that.
Right. There's nothing worse than buying a piece of equipment and being like, oh, this was not exactly what I thought I needed.
Yeah.
Right? So,
which if you just spent the time to research and read, you'd find out, you know, oh, this isn't what I'm looking for.
Right. And in the end, that affects your performances, that affects your artistry, like it affects what type of music you want to make, and it limits you in that way. Going off what you were saying, what specifically are you kind of asking about, like equipment-wise? You mean like for performances or for...
I would say recording? More, I guess, for like recording. I mean, as far as performances, I feel like probably there's... That's a little more like personal, like, oh, I kind of prefer this guitar brand for my music versus this guitar brand. I mean, you can totally give some suggestions for instruments as well, but I guess I'm more thinking like recording, because to me, I feel like if I was an artist, it's a little bit easier to, like, you can make do with whatever guitar you have, or like you can go find something, learn it, versus like if I was an artist and trying to start recording. Even if I found like a producer or whatever, I still would be like, what in the world am I getting into? I do not understand. Or I don't know what equipment to start with.
Yeah.
Well, I know there's varying opinions, and I want to hear your opinion on this, David, on like what you like and what you don't like. I have my own strong opinions for sure. But the first thing to note is like there's four things that you have to be able to record like in your own house. You have to have a microphone, some way to capture the source, right? You have to have an interface that takes it from that microphone signal to something that your computer can read and understand. You have to have a computer and like you program a DAW of some kind. And then you have to have some kind of monitoring system, whether that's studio speakers or headphones. You have to have each of those four things, which surprisingly you get fairly cheap if you want to go cheap. Mm-hmm. Or you can go and there's, you know, it's the same principle. If you're, you go to a giant studio and there's multi-millions of dollars of equipment. It's the exact same principles.
Right.
So you can go extremely affordable. You can go extremely expensive. There's a huge range in between. But for like home stuff, there's quite a bit of good equipment out there. I mean, to me, the first thing I look at is like interfaces. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
I mean, assuming
you like go more into depth of to what an interface is, like
yeah,
what it looks like even.
Yeah. So an interface can be anything from that little board that I just showed you. It has a USB out. It is a type of interface, but it's not the one you'd really want for home recording. You want some kind of interface that has multiple microphone inputs. And has a USB output that you can take to your computer. That will also have your headphone outputs or your speaker outputs typically, right? It's just a little box of some kind. There's different shapes, different sizes. A lot of them you can find like rack mounted little things, or you can get like the Scarlett 2i2s. Those are super common. A lot of people start with those. You know, there's different shapes and different sizes. There's some that sit on top of a desk. There's some that sit in racks. But they do basically the same thing. There's microphone plugins to go into it. There's usually a microphone or quarter inch outputs. You got a headphone output and you got a USB output. That's your interface. You'll have a couple knobs to adjust settings. Simple. Nothing crazy. Does that kind of answer mm-hmm. like what yep. an interface is? Yep. So like, you know, assuming you have a halfway decent computer, and whatever you're recording onto, whether it's GarageBand or Logic or Ableton or Pro Tools or Cubase or Reaper or, you know, whatever you're recording onto, that's a whole different topic. I don't know that we necessarily want to get into that because that's your own thing. But as long as you have a computer and can do that, that leaves these other three things. Headphones are pretty simple to get, you know. Audio Technica makes a lot, like they're a pretty common one to get. The ATM50Xs or whatever that their 50X line is super common, like in a ton of studios. A lot of people use those. They're not that expensive. I think they're $150.
Maybe.
And yeah. You'll find those in studios everywhere. They're super durable. They're comfortable. They sound good. You know, stuff like that. What headphones do you like?
Honestly, I was going to suggest the Audio-Technica. Yeah. There are some Yamaha ones that seen that are pretty good. You don't lose a lot of frequency mm-hmm. response on that, on those.
Yeah.
I don't mix through headphones. I just kind of mm-hmm. record through headphones. So I don't need like a ton of quality when it comes to headphones.
That is one thing to make mention of though, is there is sometimes a difference between mixing headphones and tracking headphones or recording headphones. A lot of high quality mixing headphones are open back. So I have a pair here Sennheiser makes. Love these headphones. They're great. There's better out there, but they're a solid set of headphones to get started mixing on. But the thing is, they're literally open back. There's not it's not closed off. You can see the speaker coil in there, which makes for a more even frequency response. If you're trying to mix and hear things, it's a little more accurate because you don't have any bounce back from that shell back into your ear. However, bleed is horrible when you're trying to record, because all that sound goes out. So like if you have a click going, you're going to hear it in your microphone.
Yes.
Not good. So if you're tracking or you're only getting one pair of headphones, get a pair of close backs because you can record with those.
Yep. That's good. Good point. And then speakers.
Speakers. Super common ones. Like if you're just getting started, a lot of people will get, you know, like a set of Yamahas of some kind. If you're going a little bit better, I'm a big fan of like the Atom Audio stuff for like mm-hmm. that mid-range kind of price point. But they do get, I mean, speakers you can spend a lot of money on.
Yeah, I will say though, there are some good used ones that you can get at whether it be Guitar Center or whatever. Yeah. Like I know there's some KRKs that are older models that are a little bit more boxy, but they're cheaper because they're older and they sound great. Like Rocket 7s, I think, Rocket 5s or 7s, like usually you can get those for $200.
I do just have to point out the irony real quick that like the music industry is like notoriously known as like a struggling artist who has no money, but then like all the equipment is just super expensive.
That's why they don't have the money.
You're like, $150 is pretty good. I'm like, oh snap, I don't want to spend that.
Compared to
to the rest. Right. If you're just starting out,
I feel for y'all artists out there. I'm sorry.
If you're just starting out, don't get speakers yet. I mean, they're great. I love them. But if you're like just trying to record stuff, don't spend money on speakers yet. Let that be a later down the line thing, because you can spend a ton of money on that. Mm-hmm. And really, your room factors so much into it that if you don't place them well, or if your room's not a good room for it, then you're really limiting it, because you're working with the space as you're pushing air around. Whereas with headphones, you can eliminate that. And if all you're doing is recording, you're going to be working with headphones anyway. So,
So that's a good
microphone
starter pack.
Microphones. There's some good microphones out there that you can get pretty cheap. MXL makes some not so bad microphones for pretty inexpensive. I've got one of their large diaphragms I picked up years ago. It's a little bright, it's a little tinny, but it works, you know.
The Shure. I mean, there's some good
Shure. You know,
if you're
at all in doubt, pick up an SM57. They're $100, and they have been for the last like 40 years.
And they're a tank. So
they're tanks.
You drop it.
You drop it, hits the ground, it works. People use them as hammers. Don't, but people do. 57 or a 58 in a studio environment, I would pick up a 57. You can mic, you can sing into this. So many records, especially like rock stuff, sung into a 57. They're a favorite for miking guitar cabinets. Like, they are like one of the two top microphones for that. They're chosen. They're great for snare drums.
Yeah.
You can use them on every drum if you want. I've done that.
Yeah.
They're super, super versatile. They have an iconic sound that everybody just kind of accepts. Is it a great sound? Debatable. But is it one that we all accept and like? Yeah.
Accept and like is crazy.
We all kind of accept it and like it.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like what real life sounds like, but it does sound good on recording.
Cool. So, go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say the last thing, I would say let's get into like interfaces a little bit more, because I think that's the biggest option most people get hung up on.
Yeah.
Like, what do you like?
So, for me, I'm honestly not well-versed in the land of interfaces, because I've just kind of been, I haven't really tracked more than just myself. So, I've just kind of used... I had a propeller head. I've had a Tascam 4x4 that I used for a while that worked really well. The propeller head one was just like a little two input interface. I used to have a Yamaha. I can't remember what the model was, but I had one briefly. It was just like, sometimes less is more, honestly. Like, you don't need 8 inputs if you're not. Record anything other than yourself. And I was just in that boat a lot.
Yeah.
Just me and an acoustic and maybe a few other things. So
if it's just you, I mean, I would, if you're like, you're a singer songwriter, get something with 4 inputs. Mm-hmm. That way you can have stereo guitar if you want to do that, and a vocal microphone, you know.
I will say real quick, on the topic of interfaces, your computer is, if you're using a laptop, which I know most artists are, make sure your laptop, the USB ports on your laptop are up to date, or like semi up to date, because I know that a lot of interfaces now, they're like the higher, what do you call it, Dale? Like, they're the blue tip USB.
USB 3.
USB 3.
Yeah.
And some of the older ones, it doesn't like transmit data as fast through the USB 2s or the older ports. And so that can limit you as far as latency in your recording,
Which
can be so annoying when you're trying to record yourself and it's like late a little bit, which you can adjust that in the settings. But a lot of that does have to do with like how fast things are being transmitted.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Digitally. So
if you have a chance, USB 3 is by far better than USB 2, but a lot of audio interfaces work just fine, and a lot of them, unless it has that USB-C tip, like phones and stuff like that, unless it has that kind of tip, most of them are still running at USB 2.0, because for audio that's generally good enough.
Yeah.
For transmission, I'm trying to think Only some of the newer ones are starting to really put out the USB-C tip, which is USB 3 transmission stuff. But yeah, I've never used personally other. Well, I used the Tascam that you have that one time. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I've not got a lot of experience using Tascam stuff. Mm-hmm. Again, a lot of people like Scarlett, like the Focusrite stuff.
Yeah,
they're low end. Their Scarlett series, I'm honestly not a fan of. Mm-hmm. To me, they don't sound amazing, but they work. They're functional. And sometimes that's all you need. It is acceptable. People are making great records on those. They are acceptable.
They're liked and accepted.
They're liked and acceptable. But I think for the price, you can get UAD has the Volt line of preamps. UAD stuff is pretty nice. My favorite, if I was going to buy like a brand new small format interface now, I personally would go with the SSL.
Yeah.
The SSL one, because SSL makes and has for decades these giant, amazing consoles, like large format recording studio consoles. And they just fairly recently in the last year or two, maybe it may have been three, you know, I can't remember exactly how long, but they started making these small format, just little interfaces, and they sit on your desktop. And they have two or four inputs, and you're getting some of the power of one of the best and most well-known consoles manufacturers in history right there. And it's like, you know, $150 or $200.
Yeah.
It's the same price as the Scarlett stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just go with that.
Yeah. Definitely.
So that being said, with the idea of good, better, best, if money was not an object and you could have like your own little wish list real quick, what would you pick out?
Go for it.
I'd say,
and are we staying on like the solo artist kind of scale, or are we going big?
Cause
I could go big.
I guess like mostly solo artists, but like I said, money is non-object. What if I could just get this? I don't care if it's $10,000 or whatever.
Can I phrase your question in a different way? What if we say like we're at the stage of artistry to where we can spend a little bit of money and we want to add a little bit more to our sound, a little bit more like nooks and crannies to like give ourselves, we're at the point where we can just start adding stuff and spend a little money. Like what's the next stage of equipment buying to where it's not too much to where we're overdoing it, but it's also we're adding. So,
well, and that's why I was saying like good, like the start out's better. Okay. Yeah. Now I'm upgrading, and then best of like, okay, now I'm legit.
Okay. Heard. Dale, do you want to start?
I mean, if I was going like, I'm a solo artist and I'm not, you know, trying to like have a recording studio kind of thing, but want quality stuff, I would personally probably go ahead and look at like the UAD, the Universal Audio stuff. Especially if like engineering's not my focus, but I do care about it.
Right.
Because UAD has, UAD or even Antelope Audio. They're very similar.
Antelope, yeah.
Very similar stuff. I actually really wanted to get into Antelope Audio, but then they raised their prices and now they're on par with UAD.
Of course they did, yeah.
And I'm like, well, to me that kind of cut the selling point. Yeah. So I'm like, UAD is universal.
Yeah.
It's universally accepted, and like you can cross back and forth with other places a lot because a lot of studios run UAD stuff, but then a lot of individuals also run it because it is at kind of a nice sweet spot of like, it is good stuff. You can get way better if you're going to like true studio stuff.
Right.
But it's also way better than a lot of the other like prosumer stuff and like artist side stuff on the market. Plus they have a ton of like plugins that are actually really, really good. Mm-hmm. Their DSP stuff is nice. So it kind of offloads some of the workload onto it instead of your computer.
Well, that's the thing I was going to bring up too about you mentioned plugins. I know a lot of people want to give flack to these DAWs going to subscription now instead of you actually being able to like have the DAW and like install it and uninstall it or whatever. But I will say I use Reason, and a lot of people criticize Reason. I like it. I've found it a little bit easier to use than Pro Tools personally, but they
went to a subscription model and they have like different sound pack. Like because it's a subscription, you can literally go in the store and you can just like download any plugin sounds, yeah. like sound packs, drum sounds, anything like that. And that I do like. It's you're licensing it, so you don't own it, but you have access to so many things. Yeah. And once you capture that sound in a recording, it's like, okay, I don't know. Like it's not like I need to own it. You know, it's already been captured. So I'd say, I guess that segues into what do you change to DAW? Do you go Pro Tools? Do you go, what do you feel is the best quality DAW to use?
I mean, I use Pro Tools personally. I enjoy it for the most part. I think it's pretty clean and streamlined in a lot of ways, although it is not easy to learn at first. Like there's other DAWs that are far easier to start and learn in. But once you get used to Pro Tools, I think it, for a lot of things, including tracking and mixing, primarily, it shines very well. And it is still currently kind of the industry standard. You go to a studio, you're going to find Pro Tools. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to do the engineering or the producer route, you pretty much are going to have to learn Pro Tools. Even if you learn or start or do things in other DAWs, you're going to have to learn the basics of Pro Tools. That being said, if you're an individual solo artist, I don't know that I would really bother with Pro Tools if you're not intending to do the engineering route thing. Mm-hmm. You know, Pro Tools is kind of expensive. And again, it's not the easiest thing to learn, like just jump in and learn. Do something like Reason. Do something like, I would personally probably stay away from Reaper.
About Logic.
What do you feel? Logic's Logic? It's a fine DAW.
Cubase too, and Audacity, or not Audacity. What's the?
Nuendo?
Nuendo, yeah.
Yeah. Both of those are made by Steinberg, same company.
Steinberg. That's where I started, Steinberg.
Steinberg makes quality stuff. Cubase, I've never personally used it. I've heard pretty decent things about it. I would stay away from FL Studios and Reaper just because I know what they do. They inherently put some basically some mastering type plugins on your stereo bus that cause a ton of distortion and a ton of just gnarly stuff, which if you don't know that it's there, you're thinking, oh man, everything I do in this sounds great. But if you know it's there and you know to listen for that stuff, it is pretty detrimental. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're trying to export that and send it to somebody else, you're adding a lot of distortions that cannot be good really for the actual integrity of the thing.
Right.
It's cheap, it's easy, but Cubase though, Window, Logic, Ableton, if you're doing like beat production or like program stuff, Logic and Ableton are like kind of the cream of the crop for that.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part. One DAW that I haven't gotten a hold of, but I was telling you guys about the other day. Mm-hmm. I want to check out like Mixbus.
Yeah.
Which is a Harrison make, and they also partner Harrison Consoles and SSL together kind of made Mixbus.
Right.
And it's pretty inexpensive, you know, for like DAWs and stuff, and you get good functionality out of it. It's like the name describes, its main thing is mixing.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't got to play with it personally, but I've talked with some of their people and it seems like actually a pretty cool little DAW.
Yeah.
Especially for kind of like where it sits, like price wise and like its mm-hmm. functionality. So I don't know. Those are kind of my thoughts, but like use whatever you like and let us know what you like. There's a ton of other DAWs out there that are pretty good, you know?
Use your friends, like ask them what they use. I mean, as mm-hmm. an artist, you should be building up your network of other artists and those in the music industry. And so a lot of them are going to have those resources as well, outside of just Google, of course.
Yeah.
Use Google, use YouTube, find tutorials, all that kind of stuff. But there's also, it's important to get like personal opinions from people that you trust and know.
Mm-hmm.
And also like, you know, I'll always go back to this. Find you a graduate student that'll do it for you so you don't have to do it. Like Dale.
Yeah, and pay him.
We'll mix your things and steal he'll them. Master your things and he'll do everything he can to make it sound amazing. So I'm obviously joking, sort of. But like, you need to learn these things to record your own music. But
It sounds like a lot when like you get into it, but
yeah, it does.
But really, really, if you can get a microphone and a cable, and an interface, and you just to plug into one end, plug into the other end, get your interface, you plug a USB into one end and you plug it into your computer, get a pair of headphones, plug those in and plug them into your ears, stick them on your head.
Plug them into your ears.
You know, you've got your signal chain. You've got everything right there to make the recordings that you need.
Install your DAW.
Install your
DAW. Figure that out. Yeah. Somehow. I'm kidding.
Well, again, there's a ton of DAWs out there. Yeah. Some of them are free. You can get free trials of stuff. Yeah. Watch YouTube videos to see what you think makes YouTube. Sense to you. Oh, my goodness. What will work for you. Oh, man, it's great. Yeah. You know? Just find what works for you, because unlike the early thousands and the mid thousands, other than a few of these DAWs that do weird stuff, in the name of trying to make things, you know, make the artist sound better, like automatically, other than a few of those DAWs like that, one DAW is gonna sound like another for the most part, you know, because it's all just zeros and ones, you know, it's playing what you recorded. Your microphone and your interface and you are going to be the determining factor of how that sounds.
Yeah.
So.
Sure. Well, we have nailed it out of the park.
Yeah, y'all have nerded out for long enough. So. Yeah.
So we're going to move on. We're going to leave you with that. And obviously, you know, give us your thoughts. Tell us what down below what you use or what you recommend to young artists who are starting out to
and
use.
If any of these companies want to sponsor us, us know. Even the ones we kind of bad talked.
Yeah.
We'll take whatever.
Especially those.
Yeah, prove us wrong.
Prove us wrong, please.
All right, we're going to come back real quick.
The fun little segment we like to call...
Sponsor us.
Our third segment.
Another sponsor us, please. We'll be right back.
Thank you for watching this clip of Successfully Unsigned. If you want to see more content like this in the future, please hit that like and subscribe. Also, don't forget to find us on social media platforms at successfully_unsigned or on our website at su-podcast.com.
Welcome back, everybody. We are here for the final segment of Successfully Unsigned. And we're going to be unsigned. We're going to be playing a little game, and it's random. And I thought,
is it even really a game?
It's not a game. This is not a game. This is serious.
This is not a drill.
This is a very serious topic. And that topic is, when you play a gig afterwards, where do you go to eat? That
it is very serious.
It's an age-old question.
Y'all already know my answer.
Because as we mentioned in one of our previous episodes, it might have been last episode, Dale, you know, when you play a show, it takes a lot of energy. And so afterwards, you're just hungry, you know?
Yes.
Hungry, man.
And so... You know, can you tell that we're running out of ideas for segments? Because this is...
I mean, I was literally just going to be like, let's play Heads Up with music. But I actually really like this idea because I seriously want us to get sponsored by some of these places. Right. So y'all know Dale loves IHOP. That's where he goes afterward.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, ain't no IHOP about it, baby.
I do love IHOP, though.
It's Waffle House.
IHOP sponsors. Can we Waffle admit House. That the quality of food at IHOP is just a little bit better than Waffle House?
Is it?
I think
it kind of is.
A little bit better, but it is overpriced.
The
but
prices IHOP are insane.
Still sponsor us.
And it takes you 2 hours to get sat and served at IHOP, but...
Yeah, that's true.
I do love IHOP, though.
The pancakes, I'm a fan of.
I like IHOP.
Waffle House had maybe... This is
you don't like their waffles?
I mean, I do.
They're really nice and soft.
They're like crispy. I like my waffles a little crispier.
I'm like, I ain't gonna lie. I never get a waffle at Waffle House. I never do.
That checks out.
I never do. I always go for the hash browns all the way, minus the mushrooms, minus the chili. Sometimes I tell them, sometimes I'm like, hey, give me a chef special.
And chili?
I said minus.
No mushrooms, no chili.
Oh. Minus, yeah.
I get mine, no chili, no jalapenos.
See, mine ends up with,
the chili, obviously, the hash brown. Chili and the hash browns at Waffle House.
Oh, it looks like barf.
You need to.
It really does.
Reevaluate your life. But sponsor us.
I love Waffle House, man. Like, I literally got like some senior photo, not senior, but like graduation photos taken at Waffle House.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. But like, you know, you get onions, get the jalapenos, get the cheese, get the tomatoes, get the
covered, chunked,
smothered.
Mm-hmm. It just describes you.
The whole- Like, but the whole nine yards. Plus, you get the gravy on top. It ties it all together. Sometimes, like I said, I'll ask for, like, the chef special. Say, hey, yeah. I want a hash brown chef special, whatever. You know, whatever you make. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they'll go over there and, like, sometimes they'll, like, make the hash browns and, like, put it in a little donut shape and then, like, pour, like, a scrambled egg in the middle and then cook that in there. And, like, who knows what else I've had. I don't know what all there.
Would this be considered fast food?
No, it's like a diner.
Yeah.
It's more like diner.
I'm literally looking at his Waffle House poster, his art.
Yeah.
And the great thing about Waffle House is it is 24 hours. So no matter what time your show ends, you will be able to go.
Yeah.
And
there will be a cook that is arguing with someone or getting a chair thrown at them or, you know, having some emotional breakdown while you're sitting there trying to eat.
See, the other thing people do not value about Waffle House is every time you go, you're getting, you know, you're getting good food. Yeah, and entertainment. It's literally a dinner and a show.
It is a show.
For like $6.
100%.
Like, I think everybody's probably got some stories. And I know I've got some stories. Like, this last time I went, they literally, like, offered me a job, and then the manager threatened to cut the other manager.
Cut?
Like, she's like, shut up or I'll cut you. And I was like, oh, and you're offering me his job? I'm good. But no, actually, shout out. They were awesome. That was a really fun day. But, like,
oh my goodness. I'm sorry. That just brought to mind. When I was on the way to Knoxville last time I went, we went to this Waffle House and I ordered, I think it was like 5 eggs, just egg whites. I just wanted egg whites with cheese. They gave me cheese with egg whites. Literally. it was a bowl of cheese and it had some egg whites scrambled throughout it. And it was one of those where they gave it to me and they kind of like knew as they gave it to me, like that doesn't look right. And they looked at me and they thought it was fine. So they walked away and I started like, I ate one bite and I was like, it was a spoonful of cheese. It was disgusting. Literally a spoonful of melted cheese.
That's crazy.
Which you'd think would make you happy, but it doesn't, turns out. And so, Waffle House is, you know, it's hit or miss. Most of the time,
it's always hit.
It's good, always though. Hit. Sponsor us.
Yeah.
Spotlight.
David, where do you like to go?
Honestly, if we're staying in the sort of the fast food low budget tier,
doesn't have to be.
Let's see. Jeez, I guess this might be because I'm a little bit biased, but like I've always been like a Wild Wings guy. Like after they stay open late, so I'm like, just any sort of wings.
That's a place I don't even think about, but that actually is a pretty good option.
Yeah,
that or like obviously Taco Bell. Taco Bell will hit.
Most Cinnabon of the time. Delights, man.
Those are so good.
Expensive but amazing.
Yeah. I don't think they're actually that badly priced.
I feel like they're more expensive than they're worth.
I don't think so.
For
the number you get, put it that way.
I always accidentally order 2 and they give me 2 packs of 2. So they give me 4 instead of just 2. So you're supposed to just say 1 pack, but I always say 2. Never mind. But you're right. You're absolutely right. Good.
See, but my problem is like I want like 10 of them.
Huh?
Well, they have the 12.
I know. I do.
12 is crazy. I did not know they had 12 packs.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. That's like what I order.
You eat all 12?
Butter cookie. Come on.
It's good, man. Look, I can't stop it too.
Because it's cheaper, but I don't eat all of them. I probably eat like half. So, I mean, it's still like 6. Hey, like,
you know, if I'm with somebody, I'll share like 2 of them. I'll
share like 2 of them. Stop trying to.
That's crazy.
Try to like soften the blow. If I'm with somebody.
Shout out to my Taco Bell that I live by. I'm not going to give my address, but. I used to go there a lot, like late at night, just get a drink, and they would always give it to me for free. They'd be like on the house. So yes, Taco Bell sponsor us as well.
Honestly,
and Buffalo Wild Wings, why not?
Well, no, but I will say if you're looking to kind of step it up a little bit, there's a place in Nashville. If all of our Nashville local artists called The Diner. It's got 3 levels, and they stay open pretty much all night. And they have a little bit of everything.
Where is that?
It's going to be, I think it's off of 4th Avenue, right there. So it's
just right off downtown.
Right. Yeah. Like right off. It's not off near Broadway or anything, but it's like.
And it's like diner food?
No, it's a little bit of everything. Like they have pasta, they have steak, they have like regular diner food, they have breakfast, they have coffee, like they have.
everything.
I'm there for coffee.
And then there's four like levels, and each level is like a different type of restaurant. And they stay open super late, and it's literally just
there sometime after a show.
Absolutely. They do radio shows there all the time, so maybe we could do a podcast there.
Okay, that is a place that actually should hit us up. I mean, all these places should, but we need to check that place out.
100% probably let us maybe do a show there, right? Period. Diner? Yeah.
But it's literally just called Diner?
Yeah, the Diner.
All right. Sweet but simple.
Great, we'll go there.
All right. Y'all already know where I'm going. Two different places.
Whataburger?
Shout out to my concert buddy, Atlanta Horseman, or Atlanta Jade. Sorry. Let me say her stage name.
Don't be giving out her government name.
Atlanta Jade from Hexproof. Y'all know her. Y'all love her. I love her. And me and her are go-to places, because me and her are almost at every live show together. Our go-to places, Velvet Taco. Mm. And there's a few different locations. I guess it's more of a like Florida place, but then it's like expanded out to here. Their tacos are so good. Their nachos, the brisket nachos are so good. So, so good. That is like our go-to place. I could devour that place every time. The staff knows us. They love us, I think. There was one girl though, she was cleaning up and she literally started screaming and crying because there was like some little bug on the floor, and she literally got up on the table and was like crying.
Checks out.
Like, girl, come on now. But hey, dinner and a show.
There you go.
Velvet Taco, I could rave about that place all day. Like, me and Atlanta are like, we genuinely want them to sponsor us. So Velvet Taco, I am so serious. Please sponsor us. Please sponsor Hexproof as well. We're a dynamic duo. And then Velvet Taco usually stays open till on like weekdays. I think it's like 10 to 11. And then on weekends, it's like till 2. So sometimes if it's too late, then we hit up Whataburger. And look, I grew up going to Texas to visit family, and Whataburger was like, this place is nowhere else. So good. And I love Whataburger. Now, I will say the ones in Tennessee,
underwhelming.
They ain't it.
They're not as good.
They ain't it.
I still love them. I still think the food is really good. I will say this though, the service versus like Texas service, is just nowhere near. Like, the service in Tennessee, y'all do got to work on your service, because A, it takes forever, and B, there's like almost never an apology. I once waited. You know what? I'm trying to get sponsored, so never mind. But Whataburger, love their food. Their shakes. Oh my goodness. Have you ever had a Dr. Pepper shake from there?
I didn't know that or existed.
A white chocolate raspberry shake from there?
No.
It will change your life. It's so good. Both of the. I don't even like Dr. Pepper that
better
much.
Better than Cookout shakes?
I like Cookout shakes.
That's another place I forgot to mention.
That is a good option sometimes.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
I love cheap food, but Cookout is beyond
me. It's not cheap food anymore, though. I will say that.
I do like their sweet tea, though.
Yeah.
They got, for fast food, they got a good sweet tea.
I do like their ice cream a lot. I don't know. I wouldn't even compare the two almost. Just because, like, I guess because the Dr. Pepper shake and the white chocolate raspberry shake, you're not going to get that anywhere else, really.
Right.
Also, their cinnamon buns are so good. They're so good. I get their Whataburger with bacon and cheese and onions and lettuce and mustard. And then a fry, obviously.
The fries are good. I like the fries. Yeah. And the fancy ketchup.
Yep.
I don't like the spicy ketchup, though.
You can buy their sauces in store. Like, I have their ketchup and their ranch. Their ranch is pretty good, too. And then at Velvet Taco, we either will split the brisket nachos, and then, I will get the brisket taco. Sometimes I do both. And then the steak tacos. I think there's a different name for them, but.
To any form of after a show, any form of nacho, form of nacho cheese, it's just.
It's probably not the healthiest lifestyle, especially with how many shows I go to. So I probably need to cut down on it some. Both for my wallet and my body, but still love y'all. Still, I'm so serious. please sponsor us. You know, also when I went down to Texas, our family, we have like a big family. And so we would all get Whataburger. And I was like, well, I got the app. So y'all be scanning my points.
Right.
Collected like 4,000 points. Oh, yeah. And that redeems you $30 on the Whataburger store. So I really want a Whataburger Yeti cup that looks like an actual cup. It's like $50. So I'm either going to wait till I hit 4,000 points again, or I might just pay the $20, or they also have a really cool backpack that looks like a Whataburger bag. Okay. I might get that. So, or if Whataburger, you want to send some, and I'll promote you guys.
Well,
why was this segment so long?
All right, guys, we're going to play the outro music and we're going to get out of here.
Everyone, sponsor us, give us money at su-podcast.com.
At what?
su-podcast.com.
You said SU. You did. A little bit.
You're rubbing off on me.
I am a little bit. All right, guys, love you. You know what to do.
Give us five.
Boom. See you next time.